Today's scripture lesson comes from Proverbs chapter 18. Loners who care only for themselves spit on the common good. Fools care nothing for thoughtful discourage, and all they do is run off at the mouth. When wickedness arrives, shame's not far behind. Contempt for life is contemptible. Many words rushing along like rivers in flood, but deep wisdom flows up from artesian springs. It's not right to go easy on the guilty or come down hard on the innocent. The words of a fool start fights. Do him a favor and gag him. Fools are undone by their big mouths. Their souls are crushed by their words. Listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you really want junk like that in your belly? Slack habits and sloppy work are as bad as vandalism. God's name is a place of protection. Good people can run there and be safe. The rich think their wealth protects them. They imagine themselves safe behind it. Pride first, then the crash, but humility is precursor to honor. Answering before listening is both stupid and rude. A healthy spirit conquers adversity, but what can you do when the spirit is crushed? Wise men and women are always learning, always listening for fresh insights. A gift gets attention. It buys the attention of eminent people. The first speech in a court case is always convincing until the cross-examination starts. You may have to draw straws when faced with a tough decision. Do a favor and win a friend forever. Nothing can unite the bond. Words satisfy the mouth as much as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is as gratifying as a good harvest. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Find a good spouse. You find a good life, and even more, the favor of God. The poor speak in soft supplications, the rich bite out answers. Friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like family. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You know, I praise God for this family. Many people this week have had a very hard week. Many in the hospital. We have family who lost loved ones this last week. As we bow our heads in prayer, let's lift one another up in the name of Jesus and lift each one up in love, care, and concern. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you that we can gather in your house to give praise and thanks, that you'll bless this worship and touch each life, each one who's here today. And Lord, I give thanks that we celebrate milestones and joys and family. As we share in a meal together after worship, we thank you for each one. I also give thanks for each one who does the work around this church and gets so many things done. The work behind the scenes, in front, everywhere. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing we have. In Christ's name, amen. In a report by the American Management Association in 2016, a majority of the 200 people that were interviewed that took place in this agreed that the most important skill of an executive is their ability to get along with other people. They rated the ability more vital than intelligence, decisiveness, better than skills, better than knowledge, so many things. It was being able to get along and to work together. If we think about it, every part of our life is built about and around relationships. Now, when Rob did such a wonderful job reading our scripture this morning, thank you, Rob. This morning's came from the Message. The Message scripture is a very down-to-earth. It's definitely not the King James or a new King James, but it really does hit us hard with the facts and things that we need to do, and it helps us maybe to understand in a way we just haven't heard it before, the message of getting along and working together. We as a church want to be welcoming. We want to be what's called a welcoming congregation. And so my question is for us today, as with relationships and things that we have in our lives, are we welcoming in our lives to the people around us? And sometimes we struggle with that because we're in our own little worlds and we like to do things our way. You got to remember, it's always been this way. And many of us tend to be like that. So as we talk about this morning, and we talk about people skills and people dealing with one another, some powerful words comes from Proverbs as we think about all the relationships. If we're going to have a good family life, we've got to have good relationships. If we're going to get along in the workplace and we're going to work with our co-workers in our career, we build things on relationships. If we're going to have a chemistry in a team, it means working together and building relationships. The chemistry of a team can determine whether or not it wins or whether or not it loses. Our eternal destiny is also based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Hear the words from James chapter 1, verse 19. Post this at all the intersections, guys. Dear friends, lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. God's righteousness does not grow from human anger. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage in simple humility. Let our gardener God landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Powerful words. Solomon in the book of Proverbs is talking to his family and to his kids, as we share here about some incredible words in Proverbs for us this morning about people skills and how to relate. And I remember my first appointment in Blackwell, Texas, near Abilene. The church had one aisle down the middle, and we had two families that sat on opposite ends. They've been sitting there for 30 years, didn't know why, but they had a fight 30 years ago. They don't remember what it was, but they still sit across from each other in the church. When there were meals that took place, if it was a potluck, one family would bring the hot stuff and the other would bring the desserts. They would never mingle together. Always sense tension. Well, we have families like that, don't we?
Yes.
We struggle with that. Relationships. And God has created us to have relationships. So in Proverbs, Solomon is talking about how to build those skills and how to relate. And he describes three types of people. He describes them as our friends, as our enemies or our foes, and the fools. How we relate to these types of people, how we come into contact with people, is going to have a big effect on how far and how we deal with things within our lives. And here are a few keys I want to share this morning, talking about this, about being a good and a wise person. First off, commitment to friends. The older we get, the more we realize how important it is of our friends, the more valuable and how critical the relationships that we have with one another are. When we're young, we think that we don't need to go see our parents and our grandparents all the time because they're always going to be around and so are we. Well, how quickly things change. We don't realize how important that relationship is within our lives. And our friends are the same way. Solomon gives some keys to doing this. The first key is coming to us about being a friend. In Proverbs 18:24, a man who himself has friends must himself be friendly. We've met many people in the years that are probably the sharpest people we've ever met, but they're not very friendly. And I've been to churches where people aren't too friendly sometimes. When we first moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma, back in the 90s, we went to the church and the pastor was talking about, greet your neighbors, Jesus is what a friend we have in Jesus, and how the commandment, the greatest commandment of all time, is to love our neighbors and to love ourselves and love everybody. Then at the time of greeting people, we had people stepping over us, excuse me, so they can talk to the person next to us. Bonnie left the church in tears. We don't realize friendships are vital. The first key to being a friend is having friendships. And it's for us to try, no matter how hard it is to be friendly, to be cordial. We don't take friends, we make friends. And the best way to find a good friend is to be a good friend. If you want to be a person that doesn't have very many friends, just be a loner. Do your own thing. Don't worry about it. One of the best-selling books of all time was written by Dale Carnegie. For years, we used this in the sales model in the radio group. And he talked about so many different things about people skills and connecting with people one-on-one. And in the industry, in many industries, you find that relationships and sales are built on relationships. Now everything's on a computer. But in the past, things were more on relationships and one-on-one communication with one another. And something that is so important, because as he goes on in his books, he says in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence, in that book he says, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by getting people to be interested in you. Think about that. Listening to people rather than them listening to you. In 2 months, you can do more things by being a caring, compassionate, listening person. Also, it's important that we offer an act of kindness, a kind word, encouragement, things that spread. What is Jesus all about? Spreading love. What is our church to be about? Spreading love. Saying good things. Being kind. Dealing when we have issues with them. But at the same time, I was talking with one of our members this morning about some stuff going on in their lives and something that is so important. And as the scripture said this morning up on the screen, everything's going your way until the cross-examination takes place. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. How do we present things? Encouragement. The second key to a good friend is being careful who you choose to be your friends. You know, we're to be friendly to everybody, but we don't have to be everybody's friend. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. The word choose in Hebrew language means the word ter, and that means to search out. Now, in the old biblical days, it means to search out for land, looking for land. Let's take that now and use that as searching out the right people for us within our lives, referring to reaching out. One of the keys to friendship is also finding the right people to be our friends by rejecting the wrong people. How many people are in trouble today because they hang out with the wrong group? How many people are in jail today because they hang with the wrong people? They hang with the wrong crowd. How many have lost their families because they hang with the wrong group, associating with the wrong people? When you hang with the wrong people, you get the wrong advice, you imitate the wrong example, and you go down a road of destruction. When we find a friend, let's be sure we guard that relationship like with super glue. Two super glue qualities of a friendship is honesty and loyalty. Proverbs chapter 27 tells us, faithful are the words of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of your enemy. A real friend doesn't always tell you what you want to hear, but tells you what you need to hear. The reason he will tell you things that you need to hear is to help. And I know in our relationships, it's easy for us to not want to say something. Sometimes we want to be careful not to hurt a friend, or we don't want to hurt somebody by saying something. Many times we need to say things. And something that in the radio world, where I was in business and self-employed and running offices versus a church world, you're dealing with employees versus volunteers. And when you deal with volunteers, sometimes it's harder to tell them things because you don't know how different people are going to react. In the business world, you tell them that or they're fired. That's just the way it is. But if we fired everybody in the church who disagreed, we'd have nobody here. So it's how we say things. And I know many times I hesitate and bite my tongue. Something needs to be said and I put it off. And sometimes it makes it worse. Don't leave things alone. They don't go away. Pray about it. Struggle with it. Work it out. Another quality to a good friend is loyalty. Proverbs 18:24 tells us, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's a friend. The word stick in the scriptures talks about how the skin sticks to the bone. And they're trying to use that example on how close friends should stick together. Relationship. A true friend will always be our defense attorney before they become our judge. We don't really think about these things, do we? But sometimes it's easier to get upset and have a pity party versus trying to work things out. Next, we are to be, this is hard, compassionate with our enemies. If we got any kind of convictions in our lives, we got principles in our lives, if we have any courage to stand up for what is right, if we're willing to take a stand for Jesus Christ, we are going to have foes and enemies. Just as we will make friends, we're going to have enemies. That's part of the territory. The issue is not, am I going to make enemies? The issue is, how am I going to deal with it when it comes along? How am I going to respond? There are two pieces of advice that Solomon talks about here. And he gives us good ideas on how to deal with people that oppose us. How to handle it. How to work with them. First, face people with forgiveness. Now here's a statement that is hard, but it's something we have to do. We have to do it. Never wish bad things on your enemies. That's hard to swallow, isn't it? Leave the revenge to God. Never wish bad things to happen. God will have revenge. And I'm talking about the people who have done you wrong and those that are going to do you wrong. And there are going to be people that are going to do us wrong. Let God have the revenge. Our job is to work very hard at loving. Our job is to work very hard at caring. And yes, we're going to fail. You can bet you. But our job is to try. That's what the body of Christ is about. You think every time Paul got upset when he wrote the early church, or every time Jesus got upset with the 12 disciples, the 12 whiny babies, think about them. They were always fighting with each other and always trying to one-up each other. What would have happened if each one of them gave up right out of the box? What would have happened? We've got to try. It means sometimes going in territory we struggle with, but we've got to do it. Solomon's giving great advice here on things to do. He's telling his kids, this is what we need to do as you grow up in your life. Kindness. Solomon said in Proverbs 20:22, do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and He will save you. Kindness. Kindness. Also, we got to demonstrate love. Demonstrating love. Solomon chapter 25:21. If you love your enemy, he's hungry, give him food. If he's thirsty, give him water. For if you heap burning coals on his head, the Lord will reward you. Now many are thinking, I can dump a bunch of coals on this guy's head. What revenge that could be. Think about that. Well, it's not what we think. What does it mean to heap burning coals on someone's head? It's not what we think. Charles Swindoll explains it like this. In ancient days, homes were heated and meals were fixed on a small portable stove, like barbecues today. Frequently, a person would run low on hot coals and would need to replenish their supply. The container was commonly carried on the head. So as the individual passes beneath the second-story windows throughout the village, people who had extra coals in their possession would reach down and place the coals in the container on the person's head. And due to the generosity of a few folks, he would have a ready-made fire for cooking and keeping warm. Heaping burning coals on someone's head came to be a popular expression as a spontaneous and courteous act that one person would voluntarily do for another. Someone has said, the best way to defeat your enemy is to kill him with kindness. The way you do that is forgiveness. When they do you wrong, forgive. My Bible, my very first Bible, my grandma gave me, and Miss Eisdorf, my Sunday school teacher, wrote, you've never forgiven someone until you first forgot you forgave them. Finally, be cautious with fools. You see, there are three types of fools that we hear about in Proverbs. One term refers to the hard-headed person who thinks he needs no advice. The second is someone who is thick-headed, who refuses to listen even to good counsel. And the third refers to an empty-headed person who carries out his lack of wisdom because he won't listen to the advice of those around him. To simply put it, the fool is the wrong crowd. The people we warn our kids about, the people we warn our brothers and sisters about, those people that we care about, don't hang around with those fools because they will take you down a road of destruction. Solomon said in verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding. So how should we relate to the fools of the world? How should we relate to the wrong crowd? It's easy. Proverbs 14:7, leave the presence of that fool, and you will not discern the fool's words. Listen for words of knowledge. If you're not in the wrong place at the wrong time, hanging out with the wrong people, you're not going to do the wrong thing. Our hope for eternity is make sure that we've got a personal relationship with Jesus. And when we develop those skills, when we have our relationship with God, then we can have relationships with everybody. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would